Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy here with Pat, and today is Tuesday, August 25th, 2020. You can check us out online at thedefidaily.com or on Twitter at thedefidaily. As always, thank you to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a DeFi investment and digital asset management platform that does allocation monitoring, token tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out at bitwave.io. or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. Okay, first, Blockfolio was purchased today. It was announced for $150 million by FTX.
Yeah, it's FTX is a second-rate exchange. I don't know about the technology or anything like that, but I know that they're about number 22 in the world in terms of trading volume, and I think number six when it comes to derivatives and futures and a few of the more exotic instruments. So this is a very clear play. For instance, I had never heard of FTX, and we followed the space pretty closely. I'd say this is a play for them to buy a lot of users. You know, you look at a solution like this where you take something like Blockfolio that everyone in the industry, everyone uses. Like I use Blockfolio. Everyone's monitoring parts of their portfolio through Blockfolio. You add a button that says buy crypto, you hook it up to an exchange, and you have a quick 6 million users, which is apparently what they were buying here. So great way to jump into first place. Seems like a bit of a high price for a company. 6 million users is obviously a lot, but you have to imagine that most of those are not active. So you're looking at probably a pretty small number of active users on there. So, and then the number they're actually going to be able to convert into exchange users. So bold move. We'll see how it works out for them. But it obviously brought them onto everyone's radar in a way that we hadn't really heard before.
Yeah, great. All right. Next report was out that Bitcoin is using 7 nuclear power plants worth of electricity. Is this sustainable?
Well, you know, I think there's two ways to look at this. On the one hand, at face value, obviously not. Like, that's horrific and we should all be terrified of it. And that's obviously why when you look at something like Ethereum that's moving to the proof of staking platform and they're moving to the sharding platform, that's why they're doing it. They see, you know, whether it's ethical issues or moral issues or whatever, or just environmental or practical issues, they see very real problems with having the massive amount of energy that's being dumped into cryptocurrencies. So obviously there's one camp that really believes that this is not the way to go. We need to start moving to more sustainable models. Well, the other side of this is that proof of staking is still relatively unproven. You haven't had a blockchain as large as Bitcoin use it, or Ethereum, honestly. And so even Ethereum's had some issues. You know, they had a big outage 2 weekends ago. There's going to be growing pains. And I think it is in everyone's best interest that the growing pains as we move to, you know, more power efficient and different ways of securing networks, it is in everyone's interest that Bitcoin itself is not the blockchain that is bearing those growing pains. The worst thing that could possibly happen would be a significant, you know, bug or attack against Bitcoin itself that would essentially undermine the entire industry. Now, the other side of this is that it's unfair to say that 7 nuclear power plants are being used here. It's not like there's 7 nuclear power plants lined up in a row and a bunch of miners plugged into them. In effect, what Bitcoin has done is it's created a market for arbitrage, for energy arbitrage. So there's a lot of situations. You know, we know a few different miners that we work with on a day-to-day basis that are using energy arbitrage. They're finding cheap sources of energy, whether that be electricity, you know, hydroelectric electricity coming out of Oregon, remainder coal coming out of Pennsylvania. I mean, there's all these crazy mechanisms. People are getting electricity that are essentially ways of arbitraging and making traditional energy production more profitable through cryptocurrencies. So if you look at it from that perspective, and that they're probably in the global energy market, there probably is 7 nuclear power plants worth of slack in the system. That would be hydroelectric or solar or wind that's getting produced but never actually used because of, you know, variations in how electricity is demanded over time. And so if that can be basically arbitraged into profit through cryptocurrency, I don't have a huge issue with it. Obviously, we don't want to see that all being, you know, oil and coal and different non-renewable sources being burned. But at a future point, when people are actually, when they have wind power to bleed off into their system and there's not the demand because it's the middle of the night, absolutely, that should go towards Bitcoin.
Cool. All right. Aave Protocol beat Maker and Compound to become the number one DeFi for total value locked.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I'd say it's a bit of a displacement of the big boys. You know, Maker and Compound have been around for quite a while now, and they were really slugging it out. Av is a smaller protocol, but they've obviously been doing great. They had some, you know, when we did our yield, they had some pretty good yields that they were cranking out. This is going to be a fun ping pong to watch. It's one of the most fun horse races in cryptocurrencies right now. I think Bitcoin is really solidified. Then Ethereum is behind it in terms of value, you know, market cap for the currencies. And so now the horse race we get to watch is in the DeFi space. Who's going to be the most valuable, the biggest TVL, and then also the most valuable coin.
Cool. All right. So something I keep seeing is a lot about DeFi and regulations. CoinDesk had an article today that said, regulators are circling and it's just like the ICO boom. There have been calls for self-regulation. Pat, what are your thoughts? DeFi becoming too scammy? Regulations, what's going to happen there?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of scams. There's definitely a lot of ways for people to be separated from their money right now in the DeFi world. I tend to be on the side that I think it is going to be nearly impossible to put a cap on this stuff. That's the whole point of DeFi, is it would be incredibly difficult for the SEC to put a full lid on it. Now, that doesn't mean that there won't be enforcement of particular fraud fraudulent claims and straight up scams. I mean, there have been some straight up scams as part of the DeFi world, and there's absolutely no reason if you're committing fraud and if you live in the US that you should not be prosecuted for that. If you're going to be committing fraud, you probably don't want to live in a jurisdiction that's actually going to prosecute for you for that. So at the end of the day, I think we'll see more, you know, there will be a lot more hand waving. There's no doubt about that. You're going to see a lot more people, a lot more congressmen and hearings and different people waving their hands and demanding regulation. Cat's out of the bag a little bit. You can't do, once you have something like Maker, Maker smart contract running out, there's not much you can do about it. Same with Uniswap. Like Uniswap has because they're open source, Uniswap is in an interesting position because they, even though they're open source, so people are frequently branching, forking Uniswap and creating their own pools. But Uniswap themselves is fundamentally financed by A16, Andreessen Horowitz. So they are infinitely, I would look at them and say that they are in an infinitely regulatable position, which should scare them a little bit, because they fundamentally are relying on doing something that is very questionable legality in the US, because they're doing trading with no KYC at all, with people setting up their own markets. So it's very, very questionable per US securities law. But they've taken money from some major VC players. They're the people that I would more look at for being regulated. But in terms of the overall industry, or in terms of like, do I think we're going to wake up tomorrow and on-chain exchanges are going to be gone? Absolutely not. Like that cat's out of the bag. That's never going back.
I agree. All right. Last, let's talk a little bit about Bitcoin as a reserve asset.
Yeah. One more company came out yesterday with a big announcement. So first with MicroStrategy, yesterday was Snappa saying that they were putting a bunch of their money in. Snappa was in an interesting position. They wrote a very detailed blog post. It's worth going and reading about it. They are a company that split across the US and Canada. So they were holding currency reserves in both. A lot of people are nervous right now about the US dollar in particular has been losing value aggressively because of pretty aggressive printing of money from the Federal Reserve and the US government. So people are obviously nervous about the value of the dollar, especially if you do work across national boundaries. So one of the first places that we're going to start seeing significant uptick here for adoption of cryptocurrencies and enterprises is going to be companies that have to work across borders. So this was a great example. They had a lot of concerns about their reserves. They didn't know how to allocate them. So they wanted to move to Bitcoin, which hopefully should retain its purchasing power a little bit better than either the individual currencies. Of course, then Bitcoin went down by $600. A coin. So, you know, who knows if that was the right choice.
Yeah. We'll just have to wait and see. All right. Well, that's it for today. Thank you as always for listening to the DeFi Daily. Have a good one.
Have a good one.